Hey, what's going on? Happy Sunday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a bit, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds live on YouTube. But first, let's recap the Reds game from Saturday afternoon. Michael Lorenzen on the mound for the Rangers, making his first ever appearance against the Reds. And he looked good in the first inning. He blew pitches by Will Benson and Ellie De La Cruz on his way to a 1-2-3 first inning. But it was a much different story for Lorenzen in the second. Christian Encarnacion Strand led off the inning and was hit by a pitch. Jake Fraley, welcome back to the Reds lineup. He walked. Then Tyler Stevenson smoked a single at 104 off the bat to load the bases. Jonathan India had a bloop single to make it 1-0. And Nick Martini, a sac fly, made it 2-0. In the top of the fourth, Christian Encarnacion Strand got an infield single on an excuse-me swing. He got over to second base on a fielder's choice. And then Jonathan India singled him home, making it 3-0 Reds. And Hunter Green, he was spectacular on the mound for the Reds. He did not allow a hit until the fifth inning. He would end up going 7 innings, just allowing 1 hit, no runs, 1 walk, and striking out 6 batters. In the top of the seventh, the Reds broke the game open. Jonathan India led off with a solo home run to right field, his first home run of the season. India would finish the day 4-for-4. And then Will Benson hit a 2-run home run, his fourth of the season, making it 7-0 Reds. In the eighth inning, Nick Martini would have another sac fly to make it 8-0. Things did get a little interesting in the ninth. Brett Suter, for the first time all year, just did not have it. He ended up giving up 4 runs in the ninth inning, and Alexis Diaz had to come in and bail him out. But Diaz got 2 outs on just 7 pitches, and the Reds win 8-4. Reds now 15-12 on the season. After the game, here's what Hunter Green had to say about his start.
I mean, there's really not a different approach other than just filling up the zone, just competing and trusting my pitches. I haven't done like a complete 360 on, what I was doing last year. I think it's just, just trusting myself, being able to attack the zone. In the past, it's really just been me who's beaten me. There's obviously games where, I've faced good teams that hit and put the runs up, but a lot of the games, just kind of watching myself in my outings, a lot of the times I'm beating myself, not trusting myself on just attacking the zone. So I think when you attack the zone, great things happen. Everyone was in the right spot. I got to be able to trust my guys behind me, allow them to do their job as well. They're all high level big leaguers that know how to field their position and get out. So they did a really good job with that today.
Well, our deep drive of the day from Saturday was Will Benson's 2-run home run that made it 7-0. Will Benson's home run hit 102.8 off the bat, traveling 382 feet. And our deep drive of the day, sponsored as always by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks as always to our friends at DSC. All right, checking out scores around the NL Central. I think for once you might actually like some of these as I read them off. The Brewers, they lost 15-3 to the New York Yankees. The Cubs, they lost 17-0, yes, 17-0 to the Red Sox. Those two teams have been playing unbelievable, so nice to see them just absolutely get demolished on Saturday. The Cardinals, they beat the Mets 7-4. The Pirates, they beat the Giants 4-3. So your NL Central standings on Sunday morning. The Brewers sit at 17-9, Cubs 17-10, Reds 15-12, 2.5 back. Pirates are back to 500 at 14-14, and the Cardinals 13-14. And the Reds now hold that second wild card spot with a game and a half cushion. All right, well, here's myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube talking about Saturday's game. Stick around at the end, tell you about Sunday's pitching matchup and also about the Reds minor leagues. They had a fantastic day on Saturday. All four teams won. I'll tell you about it in a little bit.
All right, let's talk about it. Reds, some really good positives today, man. Some really good positives. Let's start with Hunter Green, who I think rightfully so should be the lead story here. I know that the Reds scored 8 runs. I get all that. But at the end of it all, Hunter Green, more times than not, gets criticism when he doesn't throw the ball that well and or when he doesn't get deep enough into games and still, you know, gives his team a chance to win. So the only way that Hunter Green usually doesn't have any flack on the internet is if he throws the ball similar to what he did today, which is probably a little unrealistic to think from time to time. However, the one thing I think about Hunter really quickly before I throw it over to you, Nick, is this. Is like, I do think that there is something to be said about him, how he looks, and what big ballparks allow him to do. I don't know if he just throws the ball with more confidence. I don't have stats right in front of me to back this up, but it does feel like he's more apt to get obviously hit from time to time a little harder in regards to fly balls just because he throws so hard. But at these big ballparks, they just, you know, they have to actually be hit well. Great American Ballpark, it's like, oh, if you just touch it a little bit with his fastball, it can still get out. Not the case today. I'm not saying he got fortunate by any stretch of the imagination, but he had some deep fly balls that ended up turning into outs. And you know what? Threw strikes. And the biggest point that I would say, the difference between this Hunter Green and the Hunter Green sometimes we get frustrated by, he had command.
He was working at a lot faster pace, especially early in the game. He took the ball and went with it. It felt like that was a point of emphasis. I think you love it when guys can do that. I don't think everyone can do that. I don't think you can just make guys that's not their natural, you know, way of going about their business doing that. But I it felt like that was part of the game plan today. Hunter Green, he threw 98 pitches. Only one of them were not the four-seamer slider. So the whole adding the other pitches, he just went with the pitches that have brought him success. And I would call it success throughout his big league career so far. Not as much as everyone wants, but success. He went with what works. And both pitches were great today. I think there's still valid concerns about long term if that can be a good recipe or not. But if both pitches are working, that's really all he needs. But if the slider's not working, then you're kind of, you know, stuck. Right. So he only got 6 swing and misses today, which is incredibly low for Hunter Green. So he did pitch to contact a lot more. It does make you wonder if Hunter Green pitched in a bigger ballpark, what would his numbers look like? I don't know the answer to it, but when you see a start like tonight or this afternoon, that's where your head goes. It's like, man, if you pitch in a ballpark like this, he definitely felt like he was pitching with a lot more confidence.
I completely agree, and who knows ultimately what the stat line looks like if his home ballpark was one of the bigger fields in the league. But he doesn't. He throws a great American, so you got to live with that. But I'm not going to get overly crazy about it one way or the other. Just like I'm not probably going to get overly crazy about this offense to a certain extent, right? I'm not casting Hunter Green to be a next Cy Young winner or anything like that. But I do think that you've seen close to the ceiling today of what he's capable of doing right now. Again, I want to be very clear. You always mention how young he is, and that is fine and dandy and well, but as far as what he's capable of doing now, that is close to the ceiling. He commanded both pitches. You never really got into a spot where it felt like he was visibly frustrated by the way that he wasn't able to be able to locate or he also didn't run into any bad luck today outside of obviously that I wouldn't really call it a bloop single, but it was a well hit, you know, good hitting, good piece of hitting down the right field line, little double. And other than that, he didn't really run into tough luck. So no broken bats, slow rollers down the line. It just feels like Hunter Green always gets caught with something goofy that happens at a baseball game. And he also gets no run support. Today he got some run support, which also, you know, we talk about the big ballparks. And I guess I'm trying to give him excuses right now. I don't want to make it sound like that. But if you're throwing in a game where you're not getting any run support, you might be a little more apprehensive to try to be as aggressive and be in the zone and challenge guys to hit the baseball because you feel like you got to continue to be perfect. And that usually leads to nibbling around the edges and maybe it might not be so much walking people, but as much as it is just, again, elevating your pitch count a lot quicker than you'd like to do in a traditional game. So just food for thought. Again, there's really no data there to back that up, but it's there's some reasoning there that may be lining up to be true.
Yeah, Reds' last five games gave Hunter Green a total of five runs of support. Today they give him eight. So it definitely, I think, helps your cause when you're not feeling like you have to put up zero after zero after zero. Like, especially in the game against the Mariners, it felt like he had to be perfect. The game against the Phillies, it felt like he had to be perfect. But I overall, I don't really think like the start today versus the start his last time out against Philly, I don't really think one was so much better than the other. I just think he was able to get better results today than the start against Philly. I thought he pitched well the last time out. You know, the Phillies put some nice swings on some pitches. Overall, I don't think there was really that much difference between the start. It was just great to see him finally really get the results and overall, just, I guess, really end the day, you know, feeling good about himself. And after all the noise about Hunter Green, he's got an ERA of 3.63 right now.
You know, I was thinking about this today, and I know it'll never happen, but it's like, I don't think there will ever be a, what's the right word to use here, like bigger person per se. Like, let's face it, there's some discourse in Reds fandom from time to time on basic things, and I do think that there's this very clear reason as to why you have a lot of folks that have been rooting for this franchise for a quite significant amount of time that nothing's positive happened in their lives all that often. So I can sympathize from that standpoint, but then you have the other side of the aisle that's like, hey, that's the past. We can't really sit here and keep dwelling on that. And you can sit here and complain about every single thing. It kind of gets old, and that is very true. And it just seems like, oh, if Hunter Green doesn't throw the ball that well, then you have one side of the aisle that's just like, oh my gosh, he's nowhere near what he's supposed to be. And then if he throws the ball like today, you have the other side of the aisle, it's like, see. So it's like, I'm just trying to be in the middle and just say like, hey, this is what Hunter Green's capable of. There's no doubt that he has talent. If you don't see that he has talent, then I just don't think you're looking hard enough. However, you know, let's just continue to let him progress and see where it ultimately falls. The biggest thing in this team right now is not going to be the starting pitching. Like, it's kind of a unique thing. Last year, right, we thought starting pitching was going to be the strength of this team. Instead, last year, it was quite honestly the biggest weakness they had. And then now this year, it feels like it's back to being what we had thought it was going to be last year, which is probably one of their better strengths. I mean, every single day they go out there right now, heaven forbid, you know, knock on wood, no injuries, I feel pretty good about everybody. Obviously, Montas, hopefully he'll be back relatively soon, and all will be well.
Well, one last quick point on Hunter Green. One of the most positive things, and I know he's had two starts. One was in Seattle, and then one was in this big ballpark in Texas. But right now, he's at a 0.52 home runs per nine innings. So he's allowing just a half of a home run per nine innings he pitched. Last year is at 1.53. 2022 is first year at 1.72. So it's early. This is old now. He's only at six starts. But that is definitely a very, very positive trend, especially as we get into the summer and, you know, the ball carries better in your Great America Ballpark. So far, he's doing a much better job keeping the ball in the ballpark. And that's one of the most encouraging stats if you look at anything that Hunter Green's doing so far.
Yep. Jonathan India. Let's talk about him first before we get into the Reds offense. They looked much, much better today, clearly. Jonathan India, incredible day, man. It's one of those days where it really helps all of your statistical categories, right, that start to look very, very, very difficult. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm hitting what? My OPS is what? This is what? Today's a day that boosts that. I don't know if in front of you have how significantly that all increased. But if anything, hopefully that lets Jonathan relax a little bit and kind of get back to a position where it's just playing. And that's my biggest fear with some of these Reds offensive players is I think they can get paralyzed by what their scoreboard stats say when they walk up to the plate. And it's like, well, at some point, we just need to put that to the side. Just play baseball again. You're good. You know, you're in the big leagues for a reason. Jonathan India, is he going to be as good as he was his rookie year ever again? I don't know. Like, is that the crux with India? Like, people expected one thing, and he's probably not going to be that thing that you had originally thought, so now you're just disappointed no matter what. But he's still capable of being a serviceable, average player. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Reds have him hitting seventh. They don't need him to be Rookie of the Year Jonathan India. They need to be a guy that is better than Santiago Espinal by a decent margin. You don't need a whole lot. But, yeah, as you were saying, his average went from 182 to 222, so that's a nice development. His OPS went from 553 to 656, so that's quite a leap in one day. And, again, when you see stats like that that move that much in one day, it's a good reminder. We're still very early in the year, so the stats overall don't mean a whole lot yet, really one way or the other. But, yeah, I mean, look, the lineup just feels a lot better against a right-handed pitcher when you have Jake Fraley and Jonathan India in the lineup. It's a lot longer lineup, and, yeah, I mean, it was just a great day for Jonathan India. Friday night, he had three hard-hit balls. It was good to see that you know, translate a little bit today. So, you know, really since he's come back from his illness and, let's not forget, he said that he lost 8 pounds while he was sick,
right?
Which is crazy. So, I mean, he was obviously very sick. So for him to come right back and be a big part of the offense 2 days in a row, that's really good to see.
And he looked good today, too. He's hitting the ball backside, you know, and anytime you're capable of hitting the ball hard the other way, you're usually seeing the ball really, really well. Sometimes you can run into a pitch. You can accidentally, you know, not see the ball well, but run into a middle in fastball and, you know, and smoke it and hit a home run. But usually if you're being patient, taking breaking balls the other way, you're just locked in. And hopefully India finds himself that for the next, whatever it may be, call it 2-3 weeks, while hopefully we can get some of these other guys back. We won't get into those yet. Will Benson. I don't have a whole lot to add about Will Benson. I'm not to say that I don't think he's like all the way back or anything like that, but it's just like, is Will Benson going to be like Jay Bruce-ish, you know, from time to time? Like, is he going to be a streaky player? I don't know yet. Time will tell. But last year didn't seem that way on the back half of the season, though. He was, like, so consistently good for, what, a month and a half, 2 months, that you're like, is he going to end up being one of the better players on this offensive lineup? And then now you're starting to worry again, like, oh, no, what's happening with Will? Today was obviously a little bump in the positive direction.
Yeah, for sure. So Will Benson's first at-bat of the game, he swung and missed on a Michael Lorenzen fastball right down the middle. And I might have texted someone and been like, oh, my God, he looks lost right now. Next three at-bats, 102-mile-an-hour flyout, 105-mile-an-hour single, and a 103-mile-per-hour home run. So I don't know who said what to him in the dugout or just it's baseball.
But I know who it was. What was what's our hitting coach's name?
No, Joey Votto must have called him from Toronto.
Oh, that's what it was. But who was our hitting coach's name? What's his name? Let's get him.
I forgot.
Me too. I forgot too. So I say we give him the credit, whoever that person is.
Yeah. Shout out to you, guy. Yeah. But no, look.
Are we punching down right now? I don't mean to punch down on it. I'm not trying to be rude. Can someone in the chat let me know our hitting coach's name? I'm not going to be that disrespectful anymore. I need to at least know his name. Thank you. Go ahead. Anything left to add to Will Benson before we move on the second half of the show?
Joel McKeithen. Joel, shout out to you for fixing Will Benson.
Joel McKeithen.
McKeithen.
McKeithen?
McKeithen.
Gotcha.
I mean, shout out to you. I mean, you know, first at bat, swings at a Michael Lorenzen fastball right down the middle and misses. But you know what? Whatever he said to him between at bats, one and two, I mean, he fixed him.
He did. He did fix them. You know what else can fix your day? Is if you're looking to go to a sporting event, there's no better place than code than the Game Time app. You can download the Game Time app, use the code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y. That's short for Cincinnati in most places, but this time you can use it for a code on Game Time and get $20 off your first purchase. You've heard me talk about how many times I've talked about our experiences with the Game Time app. You've heard me once. You've heard me 1,000 times. Just a friendly reminder to let everybody know you can use the code CINCY. And you get $20 off your first purchase. You can even let the ops know, you know? I think my wife let some Mets fan know the other day. Game Time's probably going to give us a call and wonder why there's a bunch of people in New York using the code CINCY. And I'll just say the show's big time. What do you know? I mean, maybe Jonathan India's dad's giving it out. He's a big Mets fan. Just thought.
Chatterbox Reds worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide. All right, Jake Fraley, he returns. He's been missing. We talked about the domino effect yesterday, Nick, and in this today is kind of a good proving point to that. It's like you kind of get some pretty solid players in this lineup, and you can kind of pass it to the next guy, pass it to the next guy. Drake Fraley is without question, over the last 2 years, in my opinion, been the best hitter against right-handed pitching. I don't know if statistics would show that, but in my mind, like, just his approach at the plate feels that way. But, you know, hey, I don't know really what else that I want to add to Jake Fraley other than the fact that I do think that this lineup's just not good enough, if we're being honest, to be missing guys like Jake Fraley. And for that matter, honestly, Jonathan India as well. I'll add him to that mix. But anything that stuck out to you in Fraley's at-bats today, or are you just wanting to say that you're thankful he's here?
Yeah, no, just good to see him back. Obviously, right off the rip, you know, works a nice walk against Lorenzen, who at that point was looking really good early in the game. Jake Fraley was absolutely the Reds' best hitter against right-handed pitching. Ellie De La Cruz is now, so he got lapped. He got Wally Pipped in that esteemed title of best hitter against right-handed pitching as donned by Nick Kirby. But no, this is a huge part of this lineup. I think if you go back last year, early in the year, and you watch Reds highlights, you're going to see Jake Fraley be the guy that gets literally almost all the big hits early in the year. And I feel like the Reds at the end of last year, a big reason why they scuffled at the end offensively was because they had half of a Jake Fraley as he was hurt, and they missed him for a large portion of the end of the season as well. But yeah, he's a huge, huge part of this offense. And when Jake Fraley's healthy, he produces at a very high level.
He's a professional hitter. It's quite honestly as simple as that. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to a significant amount of guys that are in this lineup right now, but I really wouldn't give that title to all that many guys. Ellie's coming around. Like, Ellie's been unbelievable. But when I say a professional hitter, it's like the guy can work a count. He's not going to give in. He's going to battle. The guys that pop into my mind right now off the top of my head that play for the Reds, when you think of professional hitter, I genuinely think of Fraley. I think of Spencer Steer. I know that Ellie's been unbelievable. I'm not trying to dismiss him. It's more or less like, can Ellie continue to find ways to work counts and be, you know, selective in certain situations? Ellie's just uber talented. It's like, we could put him in there if you want, but it's more of like an earned title of just consistent at bat after consistent at bat after consistent at bat. Jake Fraley rarely goes up there and finds himself after the end of the at bat thinking like, oh, he looked lost per se. Is there anyone else you want to give that title to that I'm just missing right now? And people are going to get mad at Trace for not saying.
No, I think it's just those two. I think Ellie's trending that way, but yeah, I don't think it's fair to anoint him that title. And in Ellie's defense, Ellie's going to play against left-handed pitching where Jake Fraley's not. So he's got to overcome a little bit more of hitting his lesser side, to be that consistent. But yeah, I mean, those are the two guys, and, you never are going to feel like you're going to get cheated in with an at-bat with Jake Fraley at the plate. So, yeah, it's a huge, huge part of the offense.
James Dornsif. That's my best guess on the last name, James. Welcome to Nut Gunner Nation. We appreciate you. Let's jump into Ellie. You know, he's just been great, man. I'll openly say this. I never was campaigning out loud that, hey, let's get this guy in the outfield for sure type thing, right? I just had made mention, you see this guy track down a ball 112 feet. It's hard not to think to yourself what that looks like in center field. It's just a good reminder sometimes. It's like, you know what? We watch this game. We watch these guys every single day, which gives us a very good chance, some of us, right, of overreacting, of just being so far into the weeds of something that it's just really hard to pull yourself and take a step back and really give yourself a good glimpse on what exactly are you watching. Ellie, you know, I don't know. Again, I know people are going to laugh at this, and I genuinely think it might be true. I think that the temperature matters to him. Like, do I think he would have played as poorly as he did in Philadelphia defensively, right? I think that's what everybody comes to mind. It's going to be the game in which he had two errors, could have had three errors, followed that up by maybe a night before he booted another ball, blah, blah, blah. Am I crazy to think if this guy was playing in San Diego or Texas or LA or something like that, where he just never was, he wasn't put in those positions at the beginning of the year, if he would have ever even struggled in the first place? I'm starting to believe that. I really am. Now, maybe I'm being like naive and I'm just giving him the ultimate benefit of the doubt and I'm being a pushover and Trace is being soft. Maybe I am. But I genuinely think that, you know, a kid that grew up in the DR probably isn't a big fan of the cold. And on top of that, you're trying to play baseball bundled up with, you know, basically ski masks on. It's not a good recipe for success for many players, many, many players. And you know what? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that's probably what some of that was, because some of these plays that he makes on a night-in, night-out basis right now are incredibly, incredibly talented plays. And plays in which I don't know how many other guys in the league can make. The backhanded play he made today to save a run, I don't know. Maybe two other guys in the league. I don't even know which two, but I'm just going to say two so people don't think I'm crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that was a super fast runner, and Travis Jankowski running down the line. So, yeah, I mean, there's not many people that make that play. I don't know if it's the cold weather. I think it probably was just a bad day, and it snowballed on him more than anything. But when you talk about Ellie De La Cruz, and a lot of people mention this is not an original thought, but he always does something to help you win every night. I mean, today he goes 0 for 5 with 3 strikeouts, and he still legitimately saves a run. There's just something that he could do every night to help your team win, and he's one of a kind. Yeah, I mean, look, his defense has been great. I think I see Steve in the chat hasn't made an error in, I think, 15 consecutive games. So the big talk was he could make the flashy plays, but you know, hasn't been able to make the consistent routine plays. Well, now he's making the routine plays. Now, let's not go overboard and be like, yeah, he's making all the routine plays, because he's probably going to commit an error at some point here in the near future. It's just kind of the nature of it. But he's developing more. He's becoming more consistent. He's starting to round out his game very early in his career. And you just hope that as this year goes on, the game becomes more and more you know, rounded, and it becomes just, you know, more polished. But it's gonna take time overall. All right, well, let's recap the Reds minor league action from Saturday. A fantastic day for the Reds minor league system. We'll start off with AAA. The Louisville Bats, they won 9-3 over Nashville. The Bats have now won 4 of 5, and they have gotten their record back up to 500 at 13-13. Blake Dunn, he was 1 for 4. Hit his second home run of the year. Home run hit 366 feet, 99 miles an hour off the bat. He also had a hard hit ground out in the game. Reese Hines was 1 for 5, but his double, 113 off the bat, and he also had a 109 mile per hour ground out. Connor Capel was 1 for 4 with a double. Peyton Burdick just claimed off waivers from the Orioles. He was 2 for 4, hit a home run. He's now got 5 home runs between the Reds AAA and the Orioles AAA, 2 of those home runs with the Louisville Bats. Levon Soto, guy also just claimed off waivers. He was on base 4 times. He's now got a .414 on base percentage in his first 6 games with the Bats. And then one other note, Mike Ford, he's been out the last couple days. I'm told that's with an oblique injury, but he should only need a couple of days off. All right, down to AA, the Chattanooga Lookouts, they won 4-1 over Birmingham. Lookouts, they ended their 4-game losing streak. They improved to 5-14 on the tough season so far. Hunter Parks, he did only allow 1 run over 4 innings pitched, but really struggled with command. He walked 4 batters, did strike out 4. Avon Johnson, he was 2 for 2, hit his second home run of the year, also walked. Avon Johnson now hitting .304. He's got a .961 OPS. Avon Johnson was a 4th-round pick for the Reds back in 2019. He's been ranked as high as the Reds' number 13 prospect back in 2021. He's had some injuries, has some disappointing seasons, but really good to see Johnson off to a good start. Maybe he could become a guy that we could really start watching down at Chattanooga. Alan Serta, he hit his first home run of the season. He was just activated off the IL a couple days ago. Tyler Callahan was 1 for 4. Austin Hendrick, 0 for 3, 3 strikeouts. All right, down to High A, the Dayton Dragons, they won 5-4 over Lansing. Dragons improved to 9-11 on the season. Carlos Jorge actually hit a go-ahead two-run homer in the eighth inning in this game. That was his third home run of the year. Jorge also stole his seventh bag. Rare off night for Sal Stewart. He was 0-4. Hector Rodriguez was 1-4 with a double. Cade Hunter, he had his third home run of the year. Jay Allen, 0-4 with the walk. Leo Balcazar, 1-4. Cam Collier got the evening off. All right, and last but not least, the Daytona Tortugas. They blanked St. Lucie 5-0. The Tortugas leading the way as the Reds' top minor league affiliate so far this year. They're now 11-9 on the season. And the story of this game was Ariel Almonte. He hit two home runs, and he's now got 7 home runs on the year. Almonte only hitting .224, but anyone who has 7 home runs in the Florida State League, that is definitely a sight to behold, as that is a pitcher's league first and foremost. Almonte's a guy that only hit 5 home runs in 97 games last year, so already 7 home runs is very impressive. Almonte was a guy that was a top 30 prospect, but he fell off after just a really bad season last year. So really great to see him showing some power, as mentioned, in a very difficult league to show power. Dominic Pitelli, another great day from him. He was 3-4, double and a triple. Also stole his 6th bag of the year. Pitelli was the Reds' 2023 7th round draft pick out of Miami, Florida. He's hitting .343. He's got an OPS of .968. In his first 17 games. Carlos Sanchez was 1-3. He did steal a base, his third of the year. The Reds' number 26 prospect dropped down to number 6 in the lineup after his tough start. And then Alfredo Duno, Ricardo Cabrera, and Eismith Pineda, they were all out of the lineup for the Tortugas. All right, Reds, the rubber matchup against the Rangers, 2:35 p.m. start time out in Texas. It'll be Andrew Abbott against Dane Dunning. Dane Dunning comes in 2-2, 4.61 ERA on the season. His last time out, 4 1/3 against the Mariners, gave up 4 runs, 2 home runs, walked 3, struck out 7. If you're not familiar with Dunning, he came up as a starting pitcher, but was used both as a starter and a reliever last year for the Rangers. Decent career so far, 4.19 ERA, over 500 career innings pitched. He's only faced the Reds once. That came last year in relief, and he actually gave up 2 runs over just an inning and a third, walked 2 batters. Active Reds against Dunning are 5-15 overall. Jamer Candelario, who got the day off on Saturday, he's 4-10 with a homer and a double. So hopefully Dane Dunning can get him back on track. Spencer Steer got a hit in his only at-bat against Dunning. And then for the Reds, it's Andrew Abbott. Impressive start to the season for Abbott. Just 1-2, but has a 2.60 ERA. Last time out was a rare start where Abbott struggled with his command. Only allowed 1 earned run over 4 1/3 against the Phillies, but walked 4 batters in that game. Abbott has never faced the Rangers in his career. In fact, the only active Ranger that's faced Abbott is their backup catcher, Andrew Kitzner. One big note about the Rangers, though. Rangers have struggled against lefties this year. They have a team OPS of .617 against lefties. They're all the way up at .747 against righties. That was entering Saturday. So hopefully this is a good matchup for Andrew Abbott, and it would be really great to see the Reds go into Arlington and get a series win against the defending World Series champs. All right. Well, thanks so much, as always, for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. Appreciate all your support. If you've not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you do that now. We have new podcasts the morning after every single game all season long. This is the only Reds podcast that you can always get a quick recap after every game. So be sure to subscribe if you haven't yet. If you could, leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast. That kind of stuff really does help us out. But most importantly, if you know a Reds fan, tell them about Chatterbox Reds. Tell them to check us out, and we would really appreciate all of that. Well, I will look to see you on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. Sunday nights is the only nights we don't go live immediately after the game. We've started going live at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights just to kind of make Sundays a little easier to spend with the family, and it seems like That's kind of been a better time for most people who watch our show. Can't stay up for that. Of course, we'll be in your podcast feed bright and early on Monday morning. Recap of the game against the Rangers, giving you all the Reds minor league action, and then we'll preview the Reds series against the Padres. All right. We hope that you have a fantastic Sunday. We will talk again soon. Go Reds.